Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
It is what it is.
Peace, family. We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum, Hotep, Abarigani, Mufasa Ra in the building.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We back again, y'all, another week. Hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. Get you thinking, get your mind in the right place. Because at Collective Minds, we say we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So, you know, thanks once again for joining us, family. We are back in the building. Got a great show lined up for you today. Collective Minds is not a spectator sport, so please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get started and get into the show like we always do, how was y'all week, Rigel and Mufasa? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Great, great, great. I had a great week. I like to perceive all my weeks as great. All my days is great. You know, we all have stumbling blocks, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I try to look at life, and I want to encourage everybody, too, to look at life as a stepping stone. You know, it's a stepping stone to move forward, you know. So even, you know, if you want to perceive things, that you can perceive things as good and bad if you like, but just look at it as a stepping stone. You use everything for your good to move forward, you know. Even if it rains, you know, you use the rain as a good thing. So just want to encourage people to, you know, look at life, change your perception of life, look at life as a stepping stone, you know. And that's it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, you got any announcements for us? And how was your week, my brother?
Week was vainglorious and blacktastic. And as far as announcements, I have to make a major announcement. Whew, I had to take a deep breath on this one. Today is NFL Sunday kickoff. All the football gods united again on this glorious day. We are back to cheer on our favorite team. Yes. Yes. So shout out to all the NFL fans out there who love this great game. And I wish you the best. Wish your team success, except when you play the Raiders or the Bears. You play the Raiders or the Bears in my team, then you got to die. Outside of that, everything is good, y'all.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, it's Brother Kev. Quick announcement, just reiterate what I said last week. We are in full Virgo season. It is official. So, you know, I wish my wife a happy birthday last week. Tomorrow is my mom's birthday, so I want to wish her a special, you know, Virgo birthday and many more to come. And then I have my My girls, their birthday is Thursday, so wish them an early birthday as well.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? But we are in full Virgo season, and then we got Libra season coming after that. So my week was good. It's always good. I look at life like Nipsey, as a marathon and not a sprint. So, you know, I try to stay even, you know, even keel throughout, try not to get too high, too low, and just, you know, roll with the punches and try to knock some things off my goal list. So today, I mean, this week was another week in doing that. Now, quick announcement. Now, we going to get into, because the topic today is, you know, are people still boycotting the NFL? Are you still watching the NFL? Please give us a call and let us know. You know, if you still supporting the NFL, you stopped watching, you started back watching, started, stopped, whatever, just call us up and let us know. That's what we're talking about this week. Quick announcement in the Jay-Z Roc Nation NFL news. Now, it's going from bad to worse, in my opinion, you know. I don't know if they have something over the brothers Jay-Z head, because remember last week I told y'all he came out talking about single parents was the reason for, you know, conflict between the black community and police, and black men don't respect authority, blah, blah, blah. Basically saying a Fox News talking point, which raised a lot of eyebrows. And people like, Jay, what is going on? Do they have something on you, brother? You know, trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, because this shouldn't be coming from a black male who's supposedly from Marcy Projects with these conservative Fox News alt-right, alt-life talking points. You dig what I'm saying? But this week, they announced that Roc Nation, the NFL, donated $400,000 to two Chicago charities, right? Two Chicago charities got this money, and the charities were the Better Boys Foundation Family Service Organizations and the Crushers Club. Now, family, you can do your own due diligence on these particular organizations, but we're going to focus particularly on the Crushers Club, because they had to come out this week and apologize, because they are, the founder was, you know, she posted pics of cutting black men's dreadlocks, cutting their hair, as if that's the problem, you know what I'm saying, with the system or with what's going on, if it's their hair. So they had to apologize for that. She had some tweets talking about All Lives Matter, talking about Trump supporter, talking about cops and cupcake. So basically this has really turned into a big failure, you know what I'm saying, on the part of Jay-Z and the NFL. I would really more so say Jay-Z, because him being a black man is like, come on, bro, you should know better. And there's a lot of grassroots organizations in Chicago that could have got this money. But my thing is, he donated to two predominantly white organizations who go into black communities specifically saying they're going to help in order to get a check. These are nonprofits. We know they get big grant money just to say, you know, look at these black kids, we're going to help them, send me the money. You dig what I'm saying? It's the same old Sally Struthers game that they've been running back in the day when they used to show the commercial in Africa with the kids with the flies. Oh, look at these poor starving kids and all this type of stuff. Send us the check and we're going to help them. And what do? Basically nothing. So it's the same old game that's, you know, been running for a long time. And I'm surprised that Jay-Z got involved in this. But, you know, all things must come to light. So in one way, you know, I'm surprised. But in another way, it's like I can thank the ancestors for actually revealing the truth and what's going on out here. But, yeah, check out the Crushers Club and the Better Boys Foundation Family Services. These are two organizations in Chicago that just got almost $500,000 from Roc Nation and NFL. So it just went bad, and it's still going bad. I don't know if Jay-Z can recover, but he's receiving a lot of backlash from this. So I just wanted to put that out there. There's an update. And also Meek Mill, Meghan Trainor, and Rhapsody kicked off the NFL season. I believe that was on Thursday. So all this,
fantastic, yeah.
They're selling merchandise as well. So all this is part of the social injustice and how we go attack the problem of what I call systematic white terrorism on black people. So this is how we go address the problem, by selling merchandise, holding concerts, and donating to two white nonprofit organizations. So there you go for your power move, and we just go wait and see what happens. So he's at the table, but it looks like Jay-Z is moving like a carcass in a room full of vultures. He's not moving right in a room full of vultures, as his lyrics say. He's moving like a carcass, a somebody who's been eaten up on in a room full of vultures. So somebody get your man, and I'm gonna leave it right there. So yeah, today we are talking about, I just gotta put it out there. Today we are talking about, you know, with the whole Jay-Z thing, this is kind of on the back of that. Are you still watching the NFL?
It is what it is.
Do you watch it? You know, just give us your thoughts on the whole NFL thing and what's going on. Are you watching? Are you participating? Have you just said no? Is it because of the cap thing? Is it because of something else? We just want to hear your thoughts. And this was brought to us by Brother Mufasa. As you know, he is an avid football fan, NFL fan. So, you know, he put this topic out here, and
I love it.
You know, thanks. You ride the struggle, go ride with it, and give our 2 cents and our opinion on the whole thing. So give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. Let us know how you feel. But before we get to the call lines, you know, we'll give, I guess we'll let Brother Mufasa go first. I don't know, you know, Tanya, if you object to that, if you want to go, but we'll let Brother Mufasa
go. Right ahead.
Okay, yeah, we'll let Brother Mufasa go, since this was his idea, you know, as a show topic.
Thank you so much.
So,
you know,
my brother,
cool.
Are you?
We can break structure. You know, I'm cool to go on the fly.
Let's
so
go.
since you threw that propaganda out there,
no,
Jay Z. Since you threw that propaganda out there against Jay Z and the NFL, you know, it's just a couple of things you did not mention. Now, one, the tweets that came out about the hurt all from 2016. So what you're doing, just like what other people are doing, all the haters in the NFL doing, y'all just digging up old dirt. And that's exactly two tweets from old dirt from 2016. We all way in 2019. Now, the lady who cut the hair, let me read what she said. I don't want to put my words in it. The head of a charity, which we know what that charity is, the Crushers Club. She said when she cut the hair, when she cut the dreadlocks of the two black teenagers, she did it without much thought. And she apologized, you know, for being insensitive when she put the tweets out. But basically the kids had asked her to do it. So she didn't think nothing of it. Out of 500 youth going through our doors, I cut two young men's hair because they asked me to. And we are a family structure, and so I did it, and I didn't really think about it after that. Crushers Club founder Sally Hazelgrove said in an email, I tweeted about it without much thought. It's her. I regret it now, and I promise you I will not be doing that again if asked. Now, it's a shame that we talking about something so petty when somebody has given $200,000 to an organization to help, you know, with these kids. We talking about some hair, two young men who asked to get their hair cut. I could see if they were tied down and forced to cut their dreads off. Man, we be talking about something. But this is very petty. It's very minute. And it's just something for the Jay-Z NFL haters to dig up dirt on. That's all. So, you know, we're going to shake that right on off, deflect that, because it's a mere nothing. You know, it's a small thing to a giant. So,
can I respond or you want to keep going?
Go ahead.
I'm just, Now, number one, the thing with the hair is, and I'm gonna quote a famous comedian with this, because it always goes back to black people hair. How many times have we heard stories of black kids in school being saying they can't wear these type of hairstyles? We even saw the wrestler who had dreadlocks or twisties. They cut his hair in the middle of a match. So it goes back to white society not being comfortable with black people's hair. Because when black people, now the famous quote is from Paul Mooney. I know he's been in some issues lately, but Paul Mooney said this: when black people's hair is nappy, white people not happy. When black people's hair is relaxed, white people are relaxed. So it goes back to that thing where they're trying to scapegoat and make it seem like the hair is the issue. You see what I'm saying? How many, but we don't see them. I've never seen a video of or a school coming back saying these white kids need to cut their hair. White kids be having spikes and mohawks and dreaded hair and all type of stuff, but they never get accosted about
their
hair. So it goes back to that.
Well, see, you're making stories. Clearly, the lady, I just told you, lady said the young man asked them to cut their hair. They wasn't forced. See, that wrestling story, that was different. He was in the middle of the match. I believe that they told him, if you want to continue, you got to cut your hair. She's totally wrong. I'm with you on that. But in this case, these young men asked them to cut their hair off. So why are we, and then we're talking about 2016. Why was no big outrage in 2016 when this happened, if it was something so bad, sir? If it was something, you know, demeaning to the situation. But there wasn't. The young man asked to get it cut. It was no big deal. Here we are now in 2019, almost 20, talking about that. That's why I said it was nothing to it.
So
it
if it's no big deal,
situation.
Why she post it? If it was no big deal, why post it on social media?
If it was a big deal, why they didn't talk about it in 2016?
Because she didn't get a big fat donation from Rock Nation and the NFL.
Exactly. That's why I say, because now the spotlight is on, because they got that $200,000. Like I said, people who want to critique and want to hate on the move, they're looking and searching for every little follicle of dirt they can find. And that was the best we could come up with. What about all the other kids that come through that foundation's door? But we're talking about two kids who asked to get their hair done, you know. And I don't want to lay on that too much, because something else hit my mind that's going into this conversation about football.
Indeed.
Because I still don't understand why we attacking the NFL so much and trying to make them the poster for what, for police injustice and what the police did. You know what I'm saying? When was the last time we saw some NFL players, the NFL owners out there gunning down black folks in the street? This was supposed to be, Cap took a knee to bring about, shed light on injustice happening outside of the NFL arena. So what we want to do, we want to attack the NFL. We should be focusing our attack on those things that happen outside of the NFL that Cap kneeled for. That was his whole purpose of kneeling. See, we didn't got shifted. People say Jay-Z shifted us, but we got shifted off of what we supposed to be focusing on. We weren't supposed to be focusing on the NFL. We supposed to be focusing on crooked police and what they doing. But the dynamic shifted because Cap didn't get a job, and now we focusing on this player needed a job back. That was never what this was about. Cap took a knee for a particular reason, and it spiraled out of control, and people just want to attack the NFL. We're supposed to be attacking the injustice that's going on outside of the NFL. Feel free to respond on this.
No, yes, indeed. I'm going to let you go. You know, I'll hold my response, but, the thing is, No, I was just going to say real quick. With that, I think the thing is, it's the NFL. I don't necessarily know if people are attacking the NFL based on them being responsible for police brutality, but we know that this is a good old boys club, and coupled with the fact that they basically denied, well, I ain't gonna say denied, but they didn't, they colluded. Now, this was proven in court. They colluded to keep Kaepernick out of the NFL based on him kneeling, which is not illegal, which is a right. So that was kind of the thing I think people were going with. I'm not really, you know, on that side as far as Kaepernick getting a job and all that. But I think people was kind of thinking, okay, you can loot it to keep this man from playing football based on him kneeling for injustice. You know, and basically people looking at that like, okay, are y'all for injustice or y'all, you know, do y'all want justice? You know, basically most of your players being from these particular communities that Kaepernick was kneeling for. You know, he's talking about systematic oppression. He's talking about police brutality. He's talking about white supremacy, white terrorism on the black community. So are they for or against that? And we know by this being a good old boys club, you know, they're making moves and putting their money to say that they with it. You know, they with the injustice. You see what
but
I'm saying? So I think that's where it was coming from.
But how can we say that they colluded when Kaepernick was offered jobs with four other teams? So when are we going to look at Kaepernick and say and let him take responsibility of why he's not on these teams? I mean, that was situations that he did himself of why he didn't, you know, take any of those offers. You know, and his silence, like I said last time we were talking about this, his silence speaks volumes to me. Where is he at now? We not hearing him do anything or be outspoken about where did he want this quote-unquote movement to go. You know what I'm saying? Do he want people to protest because he ain't working? How do he feel about it? He just kind of fell back. So I think people would dupe on it. And that's why I never did even get down with the whole boycotting the NFL from the jump. You know, that was one of the reasons why I never understood that. I mean, I understand people's frustration with it, but boycotting the NFL, that never really made any sense to me. That's why I continue to enjoy the game of football, just like all them players out there. A lot of black players continue to enjoy the NFL, making their money, including Eric Reed, who took a knee as well, who has so much to talk about with Jay-Z. But yet, he's still getting the NFL check himself. I mean, come on. How you going to talk about Jay-Z and say that's ridiculous for him to want to get into this business? But he's still participating. You know, I didn't see him walk away from the game. And he's still taking the knee. He ain't get fired. But, you know, like I say, back to that colluded thing, you know, Cap was offered opportunities to play on other teams. He just, you know, it didn't work out. So I feel like the NFL has got a bad rap in this deal. And I think people that have gotten comfortable with attacking the NFL and forgetting that we're supposed to be attacking the injustice that the police are doing to black people. That's what I'm really bothered by this whole ordeal. Because we shouldn't be focused on the NFL. We should be focusing on the police injustice that Cap took the knee from the beginning. So like I said earlier, you ain't seeing NFL owners out here shooting down. No NFL owner was responsible for the people who named earlier, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner. The owner didn't do that. These were crooked, evil, wicked police who did that. And that's what we supposed to be focusing our attention on. We need to quit tripping with the NFL and what they're doing, because a lot of these black men who's making this money, if they got their mind right, should be using that money and can use that money to help out these impoverished communities. So I'm going to attack that when I know the real wicked beast is these crooked police officers who's committing the crimes. That's where the boycott and the protest should be. That's what we should be focusing our attention on. We can kick back. And the NFL, even with this here, with this inspired change, you know, people can say it's weak or not weak, but at least they are trying to say, hey, we want to sit down, we want to get involved. and put money where their mouth is. I mean, that's doing more than what a lot of people have done to invest in these different organizations. And the one you named, that's only one. They wanted to invest in several organizations. So, you know what I'm saying? You don't see the police officers doing that. The police unions, they ain't trying to invest in nothing like that. They steadily doing what they do and get away with it. So I'm saying, again, we should be attacking these crooked police organizations instead of the NFL. We need to be getting them. They should be putting money back into the community. You know, they should be going to these organizations, these grassroots organizations, saying, hey, what can we do to sit down and improve relations with the people? That's what we need to be attacking.
Yes, indeed, family. If you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are having a discussion about the NFL. You know, are you still watching the NFL? Have you ever watched it? Are you boycotting? What are your whole thoughts being that this is, I guess, NFL opening weekend? So we wanted, you know, Brother Mufasa wanted to have this discussion about the NFL and see, you know, see where people's minds is at.
I'm the lone ranger when it comes to all the conscious people. You know, they look at me bad because, you know, I love football. But, you know, I can take it. Come on, give it to me.
Roger, we're going to get to the call lines here in 1 second. Roger, did you want to respond to anything that's been said so far? We need the feminine energy in here to kind of break it up a little bit. You got any response, any words for us?
Well, I mean, I can add on to it. You know, some good points being made, especially since I don't watch football. I don't know anything about football other than a touchdown and a tackle. That's it. And
that's a great story.
I don't – it's some things about the whole story that I'm probably not that clear about. But I thought that people started boycotting the NFL because of how they reacted to the young man when he was trying to bring awareness to something positive, or, you know, bring a positive awareness to something bad that was happening to black people. And it's like it didn't seem like they were supporting that from what I saw and what I know of. So it's like, okay, If you have this young man that's trying to bring awareness to something that's happening to a group of people that's bad, and then you fire him and say he can't do this and do that, it would make me wonder, okay, are you also supporting, you know, the police officers that's, you know, that's beating the black young men and just treating black people bad, period? Are you supporting this behavior or not? So I thought that's why they were boycotting NFL, because it's like, okay, if you're not with us, you're against this type of thing. I didn't think that they was trying to not, you know, stand or boycott the police officers, but it's like I just took it as, okay, this is another thing that needs to be addressed too, because I thought the NFL was a very huge organization that has some influence and power. So that's what I thought. But you said that it was other members that was also kneeling. That, like, why did – I think you said this before, but refresh my memory. Why was Kaepernick targeted out? Why was it him? If it was other people and other players also kneeling, why was he the target to say, okay, well, we're going to fire you? And, you know, and I know you said people came back after he was fired to try to get him to play, but that was after, though, right?
Yeah, let me answer that real quick before you go to the call line. He wasn't fired. You know, he did this in the middle of the season. So that's another misconception that people had, that, you know, like he kneeled and they was like, oh, and they fired him. You know, that wasn't the case. And like I said, there's other people that have kneeled and other players that haven't stood for the national anthem. And that stuff kind of went under the radar. The reason Kaepernick blew up was because one day a media person, which we know media love to stir the pot on things, the media was interviewing him after the game. And they asked him, you know, hey, what's up? Why was you kneeling? Blah, 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 blah. And Cap went into a whole spiel about why he did it. And so when, as soon as he did that, that was trending. The media took that. They was like, oh, they knew it was a story there. So they ran with it. And, you know, what media doing what media do, they stirred that pot. Before that, people weren't even really tripping off of this. You know, like I said, Cap wasn't the only person to do that. But because he had interviewed and he spoke on it, they blew it up. The media blew it out of the proportion. And he played the rest of the season. So he didn't get fired because he did. He didn't get fined.
But they just didn't pick him back up the next season.
The next, exactly. Exactly. They didn't pick
so
him
do
back
you
up.
Think, just let me ask you your honest, I want you to give me your honest opinion. Do you think he was not picked up initially because of the light that was shed on him? Do you think they just didn't do it because of that? Or, you know, were they teaching him a lesson? Or you think if this had never happened, he more than likely wouldn't have got picked up anyway?
No, I think it did play a part, you know, because, and then putting myself in the businessman's mindset, if when this happened and the media stirred it up and started putting people against each other on the subject, because, you know, they turned it into the whole kneeling, you know, for the national anthem and trying to make that seem like it was so unpatriotic. So they put people against each other, against each other with that. So, I think that people didn't want to touch him because they didn't want to bring that drama to their organization. Because the people who didn't want him to kneel was, you know, was upset about it. People who were saying that he should give him a kneel, they were upset about it. And it was just a lot of controversy. So I think a lot of teams was like, you know, was trying to avoid all that controversy. You know, it's like if you got two people that don't get along. And, you know, some people can handle that. Two people that get along and in the family, they can be like, hey, let me pull them together. And, you know, sit them down and we're going to work this out. Some people ain't really comfortable with that. They don't know what to do. So they just kind of close their eyes and hope that it go away. So a lot of people didn't want to bring that to their, you know, to their organization. You know, some teams already had starting quarterbacks, but I think the ones who needed or could have used a starting quarterback, for them it just wasn't worth all the hoopla because that stuff becomes a distraction. When you're trying to win a Super Bowl, I'm going to keep it real. They're not trying to, on Sundays when they're playing the game, they're not out there thinking about police brutality, gay, lesbian rights, all that stuff. They out there to win a game, to win a Super Bowl. So they don't want them distractions on their team. You know, I went through the same situation just over the weekend with my team, the Raiders. We brought in a dynamic player. Antonio Brown, the football head out there, you know who I'm talking about. But this man been a distraction the whole time. He was a distraction at the team he left. We traded for him, thinking, hey, we give him his contract he want. He's going to cool down. He's going to act like he got some sense. It's been nothing but drama the whole time. Finally, they had to release him. I mean, he was stirring up so much mess, the man lost a $30 million contract off his foolishness. So, the Raiders like, look, we got to let this dude go. This is a distraction for our team. How are we supposed to go and play our game? We got to constantly deal with what he's doing. Every time they come talk to us, A.B. doing this, A.B. doing that, what he's doing on the sideline, it become a distraction for what you're trying to do. So, they released him. The team that picked him up was the Patriots. Now, when you go to a team like the Patriots, that's like the best team in football. So either he going to do one of two things. He either going to shut up and play because he want to win, or he's going to show us just how crazy he is and they going to cut him. But the Patriots didn't mind taking the gamble because they know, shoot, he wants to be here to win. He got a good chance to win the Super Bowl coming up. In Cap's situation, Cap can't go to the Patriots. They already got Tom Brady. You know, he's a quarterback. So no need for him to go there. You know, with – in this situation I'm saying with A.B., the Patriots didn't mind it. Bring him in, he's either going to conform or boom, we're going to cut him. And that's going to be the end of it. So basically what I'm getting at again is just the distractions. Organizations don't want to deal with the distraction. They just want to focus on winning because that's what it's all about, winning games, winning the Super Bowl. They ain't got time for all that extra stuff.
Right, so now.
Let me ask you one more thing.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask you one quick thing. Now, you saying that it's about distractions, but have anybody from the NFL expressed that as well? Or is this just what you're saying?
No, I've heard plenty of people
NFL,
just say that on the NFL. Yeah, I've heard plenty.
The coaches and the heads and stuff. Like the coaches and the team owners, and have any one of those, like the heads and hires, the ones who say, okay, we want this person on our team, or we don't want this person on our team. I'm saying those people, have they expressed that as well, though?
Yeah, when it came to cap situation, it was a couple, you know, that spoke on it. You know, someone that was bold enough to speak on it. A lot of them just didn't. I mean, you don't have to force them to pick up somebody on their team. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's their organization. They can pick up and offer a contract to whoever they like. So they choose to speak on it or not speak on it. That's totally up to them.
Right, I was just wondering, had they done it, though?
Right,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, it was a couple of people who had something to say, but it wasn't like every organization came out like, no, we ain't messing with them. But some did. Some did now, you know, say that, you know, well, what he's doing, we're not comfortable with that, and we don't want that in our organization. You know, and that's their right to say that because that's their business. That's their, that
right,
team
right.
is their business.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
it's
not.
Just like,
yeah,
it's just like us here. If we doing collective minds and we want to bring on a fourth co-host, a fourth member, but this dude is somebody who's gonna cause a lot of controversy. You know, so people on the outside like, man, that's messed up. Y'all want to give him a chance, but that's our choice if we want to give him a chance or not. It's like, what, y'all gonna make us take this dude? And we already know that the storm that come along with him. No, you can't force us to take them when we don't want to deal with it. And that's the type how I look
right.
at it with the NFL teams. Like, they're like, man, this is my organization. How are you going to force me to take this, man? I don't want to deal with that. I just want to focus on winning games.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this Collective Minds Radio, we are having a discussion about the NFL. Are you still watching? Are you not watching? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We're about to hit the call lines, but before we do, I want to make two quick points. Number one, now when we talk about the collusion thing, remember, Kaepernick was suing the NFL, accusing them of colluding with keeping him out of the NFL. So now the case did not go to trial. They ended up settling out of court. So if the NFL felt strongly that they did not collude, why didn't they take the trial to court and just settle it that way? But they settled out of court to not go to trial and broke him off some bread, basically saying, okay, you know, basically pleading like, you know, we may have colluded, so we'll give you this bread just to keep it moving. That's number one. They settled out of court on a case that they could have took to court and fought and possibly won, but they chose to settle out of court. That's number one. Number two, we can't act like the NFL is not a powerful body of people. This is the good old boys network. We're talking about billionaires. We're talking about oil people. We're talking about big, major corporations and people who own these teams. So now, remember, Trump came out and said that these SOBs, he calls them sons of bees, should be fired. They should be kicked off the field. He gave a big speech about that. And these same owners have donated major money to Trump. Now, Trump supports police unions and all these type of things. He's a Blue Lives Matter type of dude. So the owners have donated, and we can go down the line. Jerry Jones from the Cowboys donated $1 million. Houston, Texas owner Robert McNair donated $1 million to Trump. The Jaguars owner Shahid Khan donated $1 million. Stan Kroenke of the Los Angeles Raiders donated $1 million. Robert Kraft donated $1 million. Woody Johnson of the New York Jets donated $1 million. Like, the list goes on and on of these owners who have donated to Trump. And Trump being a Blue Lives Matter supporter, police union supporter, so by proxy, they are guilty. You dig what I'm saying? They're supporting the very cause that that Kaepernick was standing up against. You dig what I'm saying? So we can't act like that they don't, they're just worried about winning and they're not involved in politics and no social issues. No, these people donate big money to causes that they feel like support their interests. You dig what I'm saying? Which goes against the black community at large, because we know that since its inception, the police has been a terrorist organization against the black community. You know, just to put it bluntly. You dig what I'm saying? So by proxy, they're getting on that aspect. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put those 2 points out there. We can get to the call lines and go from there.
Okay. Area code 616. Area code 636 675. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I just had a comment that I was going to add to what you all said.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
I'm calling in.
Yes.
My opinion on it, I believe, like you were saying, there's some heavy hitters that own those NFL teams. That's a $1 trillion industry. And so even though they could have easily went to court with Kaepernick and possibly won, just like you were saying, they're trying to focus on winning Super Bowls and constantly bringing in that revenue for themselves as well as the cities where they host these games. They want to try to settle things out as quickly as possible with as less controversy as possible so that they lose as less funds as possible. And I believe
right.
that was the reason why they did that. And as
right.
far
100%
as
right.
being
100%
targeted, I don't feel like he was necessarily targeted because they wanted to say choose sides, as in saying, oh, well, we do agree with injustice. I think they did that to him solely as punishment, not only for him starting everything because he was the first one to kneel, but also because, and, you know, I know one of you say you weren't really that up to date on football, but, you know, he's a good player, but he's not one of the best. And I feel like one of those players who had better stats and better ratings, like even though, you know, Tom Brady's obviously white, but I'm just saying somebody in that category with Tom Brady who is African-American, they wouldn't have put him out like that because those people generate a lot of revenue for them. So he didn't necessarily have enough, what's the word I'm looking for? He didn't have enough of a, I guess, reputation for them to hold on to. So they made an example out of him, you know. And it sucks, but he didn't take any of those other positions because they weren't willing to pay him like they should have. So he made that choice. But
yes,
you up on it, Carla.
I do watch football. And, you know, and that was the last point that I was going to make. Overall, for me, I do still continue to watch football. And I am on the side of Jay-Z as far as his role that he's choosing to play. And I feel like overall you should look at it from a more optimistic point of view. It's a familiar face, one of our own, that is in the room now when these discussions are going on. And even if he can't make a change, at least he can, on his own watch, put an input in somewhere else and make a change somewhere else. One person cannot change the NFL or change the world, but somebody got to start somewhere, and he's doing something, whereas there's a lot of people complaining who don't even donate on a local level. So I'm going to just leave it at that.
It is what it is.
Asked me about that, so, but I
yes,
just appreciate it, and I'm going to continue to watch.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you,
Carla. Appreciate it.
Thank
appreciate
you,
the commentary. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Let's
okay.
hit the next call.
We can get to okay. Area code 404-908. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Just a few comments. What up, y'all?
Hey, how
peace,
you doing?
Peace,
call
how
me.
You doing?
Call
What's
me.
Going on?
Peace, peace. Yeah, this is Nas. I'm down here in ATL. Well, just to clear up some things, like first things first, no, Colin was never offered a job after the kneeling. John Elway made a comment as if he offered him a job, you know, when the controversy started, but no, that was before. So that had nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, the lawyer for Kaepernick actually issued a gag order, and they made John Elway back off those comments. So he was never issued a contract. This was collusion, and they did block him out of getting the job. And it's similar, if some of y'all are older, talk to your people, your father, your mother, talk to them. They'll tell you about Kurt Flood. This was the black baseball player who put free agency in baseball. So that's the reason baseball players have free agency to this day, because Kurt Flood put his career on the line, and he never got hired again either. So they make it's kind of like labor fights at, you know, at your job. They make an example
right.
of the person who pushes back the hardest. Not because they're worried about the bottom line, but because they want to set precedent going forward. Now, the reason
That's
they
right.
settled with him, similar to if you break your hand at your job, well, the company doesn't want to, you know, go into some long, you know, legal fight with you and have you digging into their past and all of that. They're going to try to settle with you, get it over with. Now, on your side, if you have enough money to compete with a corporation, then, you know, let me know. But for the most part, folks can't compete with a corporation. They have lawyers on retainer. Your lawyer is going to be billing you by the hour. So the idea that you're going to go to court with them for 10 years, they know, like, okay, he's going to take this if we get it to this certain number. Now, why do they want to settle? Because when you have lawsuits like this, you have things like discovery, where their emails would have to be, you know, brought forward. The logs from their meetings, all of the things that they talked about. And the last thing
right.
the NFL owners want is somebody like Jerry Jones having to sit up on the stand and have a
right.
lawyer questioning Jerry Jones. So that's why they were doing what they're doing. So there's really no justification in what the NFL did. This is a raggedy corporation. This is the way they've been for a long time. This is going to be a
right.
long labor dispute as far as, you know, players fighting for the rights, guaranteed money, and everything else. I salute all black people, no matter what your choice is. If you choose to boycott, that's fine. If you choose not to, that's fine. I don't see the NFL as our biggest hurdle, so I don't put it in
right.
those terms. But when we're dealing
Agreed.
With things like this, and somebody like Jay, and look, I grew up on Jay, man. Dope MC, one of the greatest musicians, you know, in my lifetime. But he's not equipped for something like this. And, you know, no shots at him. He's going to make some nice money off this. He's going to get a lot of his artists in different spotlights. Those rejoiners are huge. Like, think about Kanye West, that song Amazing, during the NBA playoffs
right.
years ago. Remember how much bigger that song got because they played it every commercial during the NBA playoffs? That's what some of his artists are going to get out of this. They're going to get booking. They're going to get, you know, all kinds of commercial money. So, you know, there's money there. But we leave
yeah,
it
right.
there. There's no
right.
social aspect to this. You're not fighting
Thank
the police. The NFL does
right.
Police days. You know how many games today
right.
policemen got in for half off? Or you see the
right.
jet military jets fly over during the game. Those things are political
right.
too, but they're political
Thank
for
you.
Who? Those people. So it's not treated with the same thing. So
it
we
is
can't
what
be
it
naive
is.
About this thing where we start thinking one black person getting something means good for all black people. No. He's going to make some money, and, you know, that's good
right.
for him and his family. That's nice. But as far as social
right.
justice, no, not through the NFL. They have no interest
exactly.
in that. Matter of fact,
right.
they have more interest in keeping their MAGA supporters buying tickets and watching games than they do
yes.
actually risking anything when it comes to, you know, justice for black people. So we
right.
Hey,
I want to let me ask the
yes,
caller just one question, though. I just want to ask him one
yes,
question, folks. With Kaepernick, like with Seattle, if you know, Seattle had brought him in. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. I want to know how you feel about Seattle wanted to offer him the backup role. But he didn't want that. He wanted to be a starter. I mean, do you feel like he should have went up? If he really wanted back in, he should have took that position?
Yeah. there was a rumor that he was offered a backup role. All we actually know is that he came in for a tryout, same thing as Baltimore. He came in for a tryout, did a workout, and that was that. So when you're dealing with the NFL, who don't want to give anybody a contract, let alone guarantee any money, until you see pen to paper, don't believe, like, rumors and innuendo of, oh, well, we would have gave him a contract, but, you know, we got this other second stringer over here. Like, nah, man. I'm really skeptical of NFL stories about how they would have offered him a contract. Because let's be real about this, man. If you're the NFL and you're extremely dependent on what? Government money, because you know, these people were nonprofits up until last year, so they didn't pay taxes. Public finance stadiums, meaning I'm in Atlanta, we paid for that new stadium for the billionaire Arthur Blank down here in Atlanta. That's how it works.
Right, so, right.
These people are extremely dependent on the government, the police, and all those other people. The same way you just talked about, you know, Trump being a supporter of all those police unions and all that, these NFL
right.
people are too. And if they
right.
wanted to change the behavior of the police, these are the people who are wealthy enough who could do so. They could say to their local politicians, hey, we want the police to act in this fashion. We're going to be writing a check pretty soon. We want it done
yeah.
next week. And it would be done.
Yeah.
Why did they choose
yeah.
not to do that? Because they don't think that way. They agree
right.
with the police. Let's be real.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Thank you, caller. We appreciate it.
Okay.
We appreciate you, caller. Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
now, the caller made some good points. Because all it takes, because, again, these are powerful people. We're talking about a powerful organization in the NFL. You have two football teams in New York. They could have simply came out and condemned the Eric Garner killing, made a statement. Anything would have been pro-justice. But these people choose to sit on the sideline, donate to Trump, and do their thing, which is, you know, that's their right. They can do that. You know what I'm saying? But let's not act like Jay-Z is going to go in here and somehow change the dynamic of how they think, or he's going to do some type of in social justice improvement. Like the caller said, Jay-Z went in there, got a bag. That's cool for him and his family. That's cool for Roc Nation artists. You know, all that is cool.
Don't make
don't
it out of political thing.
Don't attach the black struggle and black oppression to that as if you're doing something to help black people. Like, let's stop with the shenanigans. Let's stop with the, you know, peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining. Let's just keep it real. Let's just say you went in there, got a bag for you, your family, and your audience, and be cool with that. But don't attach the black struggle to that, because that makes it disingenuous. You see what I'm saying? That makes it very disingenuous. Go ahead, my brother.
No, I was going to say, I'm taking notes. I'll respond. But I'm going to wait until we get through with some more calls, but I'm going to respond to this.
Okay,
okay.
Now look, hold on real quick. Oh, go ahead. We'll get the caller. But I wanted to drop something after
okay.
this caller.
Okay, area code 319. You sure you want to do it now? You sure you're good? Okay, area code 3.
Yeah, go ahead.
What you want to do? Area code 319-5, area code 319-572, calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I have a comment. Here we go.
Hey,
caller,
thank
Monday.
You for calling
you,
in.
Hello?
Please, caller. Go ahead, caller. We can hear you.
Okay, you guys can hear me?
Yes.
Yes, loud and clear. We got you, loud and
okay.
clear.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make a comment that here we go, another Sunday discussing a sidetrack. discussing something that they started to sidetrack you from what's really going on. The NFL, it got everybody using the NFL to sidetrack you from the real issues going on. And this is another Sunday where we're discussing a sidetrack. Instead of
see, I agree with you.
I was ready for a
issue
this week.
The SpongeBob effect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with
you.
That's why I said that.
I was ready for a real discussion this week.
But see,
right.
that's why I brought that up earlier, caller, that's what we should be talking about, the issues of police or what the police are doing. But see, you're exactly right. That's why they use this NFL situation as a distraction. And that's why I said that earlier, like, we're focusing on the wrong thing about the NFL. We should be focusing on what the police are doing. But I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead, Carla. Keep going.
No, that's all I want to say.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
We appreciate it.
Now, that goes – now, I want to make a point to that real quick, because that goes to my response to the original question, are you watching football this year? Now, for me, I stopped watching football a few years before Kaepernick even kneeled. You know what I'm saying? Because I came to the realization that football was a major, major distraction. Now, for me, I grew up on football. I played football. I had my teams I used to follow. When my team would lose for the week, I would be sick. Like, this is how much I was into NFL football. But I came to realize that this was part of the Roman circus, right? So when the rulers feel like people are getting restless, they put on a circus and put on a spectacle to distract the people from what's going on in the real world. Right, watching sports, and since we're talking about football, which is a major pastime in America, watching sports is a major form of escapism, so the viewer can kind of live vicariously through these athletes. And year after year, I'm watching football. I'm like, for me, these games are amounting to nothing. I'm not getting nothing out of it. I can discuss the stats. I can discuss who got the most yards, who threw this, who caught that. But it's nothing constructive. It's just a game, and I think people need to leave it there and understand that the reason why these athletes get paid millions of dollars is so that the powers can distract you from what's really going on in the world. Now, check this out. We had one of the biggest sexual scandals in modern American history with this Jeff Epstein thing that implicated former presidents, major politicians, heads of states, you know, we're talking about clergy, all type of people who actually run this world and send your kids to war involved in a sexual scandal, and nobody even cares. See, this is the type of society that we've come to live in. You know, his death, or Jeffrey Epstein's death, was fake. Even if he was killed, or if he was murdered, or it was fake, this was broadcast in front of the whole world, and nobody gave a peep. Because there's baseball going on, we got football starting. Like, nobody cares about the real issue, because these sports are going on to distract us. And I feel like this. It's no coincidence that black men are the majority in these sports, of the major sports leagues, and we love and can talk sports the most. We can have heated debates in barbershops, at the store, about our sports team, and it's no coincidence that we are at the bottom economically and socially, because we put our attention into these things that really don't amount to anything. It's just a feel-good game that really, after puberty, grown men should not be playing with balls. Let's just keep it real. You know, after puberty, like, this is a kid's game, and men should be doing men things. This is why a lot of your athletes don't get involved in, you know, a lot of the athletes don't really, you know, we have a lot of black athletes, so-called, but their community where they come from is still in shambles. We don't really own anything within these leagues. You know, if we talk about the history of the NFL real quick, and we'll get to the call lines in 1 second. We talk about the history of the NFL. The first black quarterback, no, let's do this. Because the NFL started, I don't know if you know, and we're talking about this from a psychological standpoint. The NFL started really as an alternative to war, right? The first NFL game was developed from rugby in 1869 is right after the Civil War. So these games and sports events were an alternative to war. And the first rules of American football was written in 1876, and most people credit a guy named Walter Camp as the father of football. Now, Walter Camp was a Freemason. He was involved in fraternities and things like that. And there was a group of European white men who developed the game of football, right? Now, it takes Dr. Francis Quest Wilson in the ISIS papers to break down what these games really mean. And football is a, I hate to say this, but I got to keep it real. Football is a homoerotic sport, right? And, again, I play football. I'm not knocking, but I'm just breaking it down from a psychological standpoint, according to the great doctor, right? It's a homoerotic sport. You have men in. No, listen, now, this is real talk. This is real talk. Now, you may not be able to see it constantly, but
it is what it is.
You have men in tights playing with balls, putting their hands under another man's ball. Like, it's the whole concept is very homoerotic. So we have to break it down. Slapping on the butt. All that. And remember, football was the first sport to have an openly gay player, and I think more of that
it is what it is.
But again, this is from the mind of the European to distract people from what's really going on in society. You can kind of escape and get away one day. And like I say, race always comes into play with this. So when we talk about the NFL, we talk about lack of black quarterback, actually lack of black players in the beginning. Then it took a while to get the first black quarterback. You know, then it took a while to get the first black coach. Now, we don't have any black owners. There's only two black coaches in the NFL today, but maybe Mufasa could correct me if I'm wrong. But there's only two black coaches today. We have less than 10 black quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken. But 70% of the players in the NFL are black. So there's a lot, there's a racial dynamic that comes with the NFL and football, so we cannot act like that is not there. And these sports are merely a distraction to what's really going on. And the fact that black men participate and really think that this is one of the ways out of the hood, when really there's only so many players that can make it to the NFL and get these million-dollar contracts. So we got to reevaluate how much stock we put into this game called the NFL. How much stock do, like, what does it really
mean? It is what it is.
These things at the barbershop on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? We could be discussing white supremacy, terrorism, and how we can end this system. I think that would be better.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Let me
just say something. Go ahead. Because I know, and I apologize for this because I know you said a whole lot of stuff and you made some great points. But I just, only thing I'm hearing is men in tights playing with balls.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that was said about the men?
But that is true. I'm not pulling this out of the ISIS papers. And it says,
I don't even have to read anything. I can look at football and see grown men in tights playing with balls.
Playing with balls, exactly. Now listen, real quick, and then I'm gonna let you go.
Don't forget about the callers.
It is what it is.
For those that don't know, the Crest Theory says that basically, you know, white people fear genetic annihilation. So within everything they do or create within this society, they're worried about genetic annihilation. Now, their genetic annihilation comes from the black male, right? His genetic material can wipe them out genetically through his semen, which comes from what? The testicles, a.k.a. The balls.
The
I'm going to read this real quick. Right.
The football, the basketball, the baseball.
The football, the bat, all of it is part of their psychology. And this woman is
soccer
a third-generation doctor.
Tennis
soccer
ball.
Soccer ball as well. This is part of her theory. But she's a third-generation psychologist, so she breaks this down. And she says the testicles contain the genetic material and the penis transport the genetic materials in the act of ejaculation. Thus, in the white brain computer, there is a dominant association between balls, testicles, and the contest of power.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at sports, the whole idea is who controls the ball, who has control of the ball at a particular time. That is the underlying psychology and development of these sports, which comes from the white male.
It is
psyche.
What it is.
Okay. Now, I can go on, but I'm going to let you respond, and then we'll see if we can get some more callers.
Yes. Yes. Okay, well, I appreciate that that report that you wrote there in that essay. And you said so much is so packed in. But I'm going to wait. Because I want to hear still from the callers. But I have taken notes, and I'll wait to respond, because you have definitely said a lot. So, why don't you go ahead and see what the call is?
Basketball.
I say, well, I try to,
basketball.
You know, I got to try to suck all this out. Yeah, I got to suck this out. I got to suck this out.
Football.
You can get a call.
Hey.
Yeah, get a call. I got
to
suck
this
out.
Okay, let's go to the call line. There you go, 314-316. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
You hear me?
Yeah, hey,
Carl,
thanks for
calling
in.
Loud and clear. Peace,
Carl.
Peace.
Hey there, brother. Brother Kev, man, every time you talk, man, it's just like you're taking the words right out of my mouth to the point where I almost forgot what the topic was. But, I'm 100% in agreement with everything that Brother Kev said. I want to kind of piggyback on it a little bit. My thing with Jay-Z, and I grew up listening to him. I was a huge fan of Jay-Z. But when I look at the market age range from 15 to 25, in my age and older that are still speaking from a fan perspective, to the point where it's like he can't be critiqued because he has all these this body of work. And knowing that music is a commodity that has the highest influence in our culture, I mean, literally people drink what the rappers talk about, whatever about this, that, and the other. And with Jay-Z, my issue is why are we not using that influence for ownership? Now, playing, like, understand this. I don't even know what the point is. I don't even know what the extent of the deal is. We know that the deal on the table. I don't have the contract in front of me, so I don't know what it is. But I know that marketing and propaganda is something that we'll use, whether it's negative or positive, to get people to get their mind off of something on this. And for the past few weeks, this has been a discussion that keeps coming up, you know, about Jay-Z and the NFL. Personally, I don't give a goddamn what Jay-Z does. Because I know that influence that he has is not being used to empower our people. And if he has $1 billion, in my mind, if I got $1 billion, I'm trying to own a team. I'm not sitting here trying to get no music contracts, none of that stuff. And with the celebrity that his wife has, I mean, like, can you imagine if he owned, you know, imagine a team that somebody's really tripping off for, like the Tennessee Titans or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, owning a team like that. So Beyonce is your wife, a whole new audience with these women into the conversation of football. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just, me personally, I stopped watching football when the Kaepernick stuff happened. And honestly, like, I've even stepped away from watching TV, period. I watch movies and, you know, a few documentaries here or there, but I understand the purpose of it, so I kind of stepped away from the game. But my question, you know, and I want to say this too, man, and this is no disrespect, but Brother Mufasa, sometimes you be talking about a team white supremacy, man. And the reason I say
right.
that is because it's almost like you're in agreement and you're defending what these owners are saying, but yet I look at these white boys that have jobs that aren't doing half the job that Kaepernick is having. And I mean, if I'm not mistaken, right after this happened, Kaepernick was almost fresh off of a Super Bowl. I look at a person like Mark Brunell have an 18 to 20 year career as a backup. And it's like, you know, you mean to tell me that no team wants to deal with him based on the fact that he's kneeling, which should be part of his constitutional rights, but have, you know, quarterbacks whose name has been involved in drug scandals, doing cocaine, raping women, et cetera, but yet we still allow them to go from team to team. So, you know, like, it's like white supremacy is all in compliance with each other. And like
right.
you guys said at the opening of the show, you know, these people are Trump supporters and the other. And so, like, my question to the people that are supporting, you know, Jay-Z's view or whatever, outside of being a fan of Jay-Z, how does this change the dynamic for black people? And what is it about social injustice and bringing Roc Nation to the Super Bowl that's going to change for us? And when I see that, like, Jay-Z advocating or using leverage to free certain people, if you notice, these are people that are beneficial to him. Like, he might free an artist that he has some involvement with, this guy, ASAP Rocky, whatever his name is, and then,
right.
you know, there was a big news break about somebody else. But how come these artists like him and Kim Kardashian and all these other people that y'all look up to so much, how come they're not advocating and leveraging their celebrity to free our political leaders? How come they're not trying to get Mumia Abu-Jamal out, you know, or Larry Hoop, or somebody that's going
right.
to have a political influence on our heart? My question.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, caller. We're going to let Brother Mufasa respond. Appreciate you, caller. Right on.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, hey. Well, you know, I'm going to make it plain because, you know, I'm for the people, and I love to hear what the people say. But as far as, you know, him saying about the backup situation, what Kaepernick did, his controversy was surrounding, you know, a quote-unquote patriotic type deal, which blew it up more, way out of proportion. You know, I'm just giving you the facts. I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I'm just telling you what it is. That's deeper than a quarterback who had a DWI. You know, even when Ben Roethlisberger had his situation, they protested that. They were on a smaller level. Domestic abuse, the NFL takes all that type of stuff seriously. But when it comes to that patriotic thing,
no.
I mean, that was on a large scale. That pissed a lot of people off. So, you know what I'm saying? People didn't want – I think the NFL was caught off guard with it. Dealing with somebody who, you know, like I said, DWI or something like that, I mean, they know how to deal with that. This has never happened
right,
before.
Right, right.
This was a situation.
Did somebody say something about raping
that
women?
Was new.
Bro, not right. Not look.
Did somebody
not
have
look.
A rape?
Hold on. I'm going to let you respond. I'm going to let you respond. Hold on.
Go ahead, bro.
Because I want – just throw these daughters. You can respond to everything.
Go ahead.
You know, then when you said – about, you know, football being a pastime, yes, it is a pastime. And, you know, everybody has to have something that they can use to take their mind. Here's Collective Minds. Look, we talk about all different subjects. I'm a football fan, love of this is true. But y'all know how I get down. Y'all know my work with the community. You know I'm in the community. So just because, you know, football, I use football to take my mind off of things. And everybody needs to have an outlet. I think that's being disingenuous when I know each one of us on this phone do certain things that take our mind off of the struggle. So to just, you know, to say like people got to focus on the struggle 24/7, I think that's being disingenuous because that'll drive a person insane, in my opinion. And when you said about owners forcing the police to change, you know, that was something else that, you know, I think it was a call that said the owners are not, you know, they're not, man, what was the word she said? The owners, I forgot exactly what he said, but to that point, the owners don't deal on this with on the situation that we deal with in the hood. You know, they are far removed. So of course they not they ain't tripping. I mean they live in a whole nother lifestyle that's totally different from what people deal with on a day to day basis in the hood. It's like we couldn't imagine what a owner like Jerry Jones, what his day to day dealings are. You know, people are on different levels. It just is what it is. So when they bring these things to the light, like what Cap did, and why I appreciate what he did, is because it put everybody to attention to see what's going on. You know, and that's why the NFL did this with the Inspired Change. It wasn't like they totally said, no, we ain't finna deal with that period and just strong arm and said, no. I mean, they had to look at that. It forced everybody to look at this situation. So people are trying to come in the middle and try to figure out what they could do, their lane or their role. But you can't sit up and say these white billionaires know or even care about what's going on in North St. Louis, on these hoods. They ain't even from that level. So, you know, you got to give this Inspired Change, give it opportunity. I still big up the NFL for trying to do something, because the oppressor, these police people, I think what they do is steal more than what these police are actually doing. You know, so at least they start in somewhere. And maybe that'll filter down into forcing the police or putting their money where their mouth is and getting these police to make changes. But this was the start. This was the start. So I'm not going to criticize the teeth and go hard in the paint. I'm going to give it a chance. So you can respond to all that, or y'all want to get the last caller real quick. It's up to y'all.
Real quick, let me respond real quick and we get to the caller, because you said two things. Now, I do agree with you that, yes, there's nothing wrong with, because you can't be in warrior mode all the time, so there's nothing wrong with escaping, you know, watching whatever you watch to get your mind right. However, when a person puts too much stock in a game, then you start to go into, you know, that starts to be a problem, especially, you know, with the things that we as black people have on our plate. But I agree, no problem with that. Now, you did say something that's incorrect. You said the NFL takes domestic abuse seriously. The record shows that is not true. We can count. I mean, there's a number of cases that I've read throughout the years where they put stuff on the back burner. They've sent cats to other teams that have beat their wives and beat their girlfriends. They pushed it under the rug. They've swept it under. They've hid videos. Like, there's numerous cases of NFL players being accused of rape, accused of beating their wives and girlfriends. And the NFL covers this stuff up. So we got to keep it real. I think what you be doing, my brother Mufasa, is you love the game of football, which is cool, but don't use that to take up for the NFL and their owners. I think that can be two separate things. If you love the game and your team, cool. You just like to watch football, boom. But don't confuse that with the owners trying to be righteous or standing for justice and doing the right thing, because we know, as you said, they all about the bottom line. They want to win and get that paper. So
ahead
and tell them, if they have to cover up one of their players beating their wives so he can start the next week, they going to do that. So let's keep it real and not try to, you know, conflate the two. If you want to support football, you like the game. But that's totally separate from an owner. But that's totally separate from an owner who supports Trump and supports police unions. That's different. So let's not make them out to be these righteous leaders and we go see what they going to do, because we know that's not the case. These are old white men owners who have strategically kept black men out of power positions purposely. You know what I'm saying? This ain't by accident. They've done this purposely to keep black people out of ownership positions. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, let's not confuse the two, my brother. But yeah, I just wanted to respond. We can hit the call.
We got time for just one more caller right now. So we run out of time. We're gonna go to the great 314-381 caller. You're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I don't heard all these complaints. You had a caller call in from Atlanta, always stirring stuff up. Let me ask you something, Kevin. Mustafa, you know Brother Stacy, don't you?
Brother Stacy?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Brother Stacy?
Yes. And his wife, Khadidra. Their son, St. Louis born, had just signed the largest running back contract in NFL history. You know his name?
Zeke Elliott.
Absolutely. Yeah. St. Louis born. Went to what high school? Went to John
he went
Burroughs.
To Austin. I thought he went to Austin. I thought he went
he
to
He went to John
Austin.
Burroughs.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. I'm happy as hell for him. And I give him advice. Now, and didn't he have a problem with a white lady, a white girl?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. And I hope he keeps every dime of his money and use it wisely. I know he will because I know his father. So we should be happy about that. You had a basketball team here in St. Louis, the St. Louis Hawks. They didn't last because White said they wasn't going to pay money to watch a bunch of gorillas running up and down the court in shorts. Although blacks make up 70% of the NFL, they don't make up that kind of numbers in those who's paying. Matter of fact, it's whites who make up 70% plus. So if you're going to run a good business, you're going to cater to those who's paying footing the bill. All that other stuff go out and do it. You know where Barrington Downs is, right? Out there on Hall Ferry and Vail.
Right.
Are you familiar with that area? That's a black area.
Yes,
indeed.
Let me
ask you something. Do you think that the riders in Ferguson was going out there?
So why would
Hell,
they? Why would they?
Because if they could get away with it, they would. But them blacks laid a line in the middle of Vail Avenue and said, you come out here, we got something waiting on you. When you look at downtown skyline, you know me. We both from St. Louis. You can see what I put up. The building across the street from the Galleria, that's another one of my jobs. One of my last schools out of 11 to 13 I've done, I had a hard time keeping count, was Vashon High School down there on Cass Avenue. The prisons I've done, St. Louis County Justice Center, the Medium Work Center over on Hall Street. One down in Bowling Green, Missouri. One in Vandalia. You think I wasn't going to put them prisons up? Because of somebody talking about they're going to be overpopulated with blacks? That's a bunch of bull crap. So here's
right,
the thing.
So it's money over everything, right?
I tell you what, we got another coming out of our family, Luther Burden. You remember Luther Burden? He was a star at St. Louis U. His son is tearing up everything in football and basketball. He's going to be another one that come out of our family that's going toward big money. And I'm going to tell him to take every dime that he can possibly get. So that's what you're supposed
right.
to do. Ain't nobody saying you're disking anything. But you can't,
right.
I mean, these, as long as I've known, as long as I've read, this quote-unquote struggle has been going on, and the people that's out here promoting it, wasn't Frances Quest Wilson dating a white man? Or was she married with a white man? I mean,
no,
we can ask these questions.
You got the wrong Dr. Frances. No.
All right. So I just wanted to put that out there. Until blacks
Indeed.
Get to the point where they can maintain something financially, you ain't going to put no pressure on the NFL. NFL players, money managers invest in NEO and prison systems of America because they pay good
right.
returns. Not only do
right.
they invest in it, but the Fraternal Order, the police, Trump Holdings, teachers' unions that teachers in the St. Louis Public School District contribute to.
Right.
Man, forget all that boycott stuff. It ain't going to work.
Right, right. Now, you said something very important, and just real quick, you said that, you know, the white players, the league is supported by white customers, basically. So that's a good point because that should let black athletes know, just like you said, the St. Louis Hawks couldn't sustain a team because they don't – white people said they didn't want to see black gorillas running up and down the court. So that should let black athletes know that it's about ownership. We don't have to take that. We can pull together and start our own league. If you look at how the NFL started, it was just some ragtime league with just a few people watching. You know what I'm saying? You can start,
Kevin,
from somewhere.
I hear
so
what you're saying.
That's not the problem. You know what I'm saying?
Ezekiel, ain't gonna sign for no $250,000 a year and turn down $90 million.
No doubt, and I don't blame him. Like
can't have a conversation.
Money.
We can't have last week talking about how bad off blacks are doing financially. Then we come up with these ideas that they can support a NFL football league, an NBA football league, and they couldn't support and maintain the Negroes league because Willie Mays, who's making $250 a month on the barnstorming circuit, you think he wasn't going to sign with New York? Anyway, I'll let y'all get back to your show, man. I mean, it's just the way you think.
Yes, I mean, we appreciate you, Carla, no doubt.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
I'm glad we're down to the last 5 minutes. I think it's been a great, you know, dynamic show. Thanks to all the callers and supporters. And I'm going to let Mufasa and Rigel sign us out.
Hey, I appreciate everybody tuning in as well. Like I say, all my NFL brothers and sisters out there, we are united. Let's get this paper. Let's take this paper and do what we need to do for our communities. Pool our resources together. Like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we should do. Pool our money and resources together and build our communities up. Also, on that quote, on that line about tight, I mean, come on now. Y'all want to see these dudes run? This is a gladiator sport. They got to run around, slide, take hits. Who want to slide on the ground in some jeans? You can't do that. I mean, what they can't have on shorts? If you slide on that grass and shorts, you rip the skin off. So these tights have purpose. See, people got to get their minds out the gutter and realize why these guys have tights on. It's to protect the skin. Come on, Kev, you know that.
All right, I'm not going to respond right now. I'm going to send it to Ryder. But, again, that was from a psychological unconscious. That was the underlying, you know, you got to look at the psyche. This is not on the surface. You see what I'm saying? But, again, it's about who controls the balls. And that's the whole thing about
and
white
then and then they're still grown men, too, in tights now.
And
little guys in tights maybe
exactly.
Running around,
so,
you know, so they don't scrape their legs.
You can take that or leave it. Right. You can take it
but,
or leave
okay,
it.
I'll just,
that's what the great doctor said.
That was just funny to me, the grown men in tights playing with balls. But, okay.
He was wrong for that.
I do thank everybody for calling in, though. But I think one thing that we, you know, should just definitely want to take from this is that, okay, even if the players, you know, choose to play these sports and get all this money, you know, if they, you know, do try to give back to the community, that's a good thing. If that's, you know, their goal. Not saying that they have to, but if that's what, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, speak about that, you know, where they can – the money that the NFL is giving to black people that, you know, as if it's helping the community, but does it really help the community if the money is not staying within the community? So I guess we need to figure out a way to do that. But, you know, again, just thank everybody for calling in and tuning in with us, all our supporters and our listeners. We value you, so
yes,
continue
indeed.
To listen in. Check us out next week, next Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tune in with us every Sunday, each and every Sunday, and follow us on all the social media outlets. Send us an email if you have any show topic ideas at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Peace. Look forward to seeing, talking with you next
Peace,
week.
Peace, y'all.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, words.
into the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper, who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Collective Minds.